This is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The big talk behind charter schools is that they were going to run using free market principles. But a new revelation about charter schools and how much they're paying their superintendents is giving some reason to pause. According to the data, some charter schools are paying their superintendents many times more than public school superintendents when you judge the pay on a per-student basis. There's one charter school in Houston that's paying their superintendent just under $250,000 a year, and the school has 250 students. Well, what do you think about that? Is that a problem? How do you think it could be fixed? Or do you think charter schools should be left to pay their superintendents as much as they want to, as long as they have the results to back it up? We invite your phone calls. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on our show page on our website at tpr.org. Now, joining us to dig deeper into this situation, we've got the State Board of Education Vice Chairman Thomas Ratliff, also Mark Larson, the CEO of KIPP in San Antonio, a charter school in the community. A little bit later, we'll be joined by State Representative Mike Villarreal, who is a member of the House Committee on Public Education. So let me ask you, State Education Board Member Ratliff, how did you first start looking into these numbers? Why did you think this was an issue? What led you here?
Somebody just randomly sent me a report from Texas Education News or some publication like that, and it just had a list of the top 10 charter superintendents, and some of the numbers just jumped off the page at me with regards to their compensation compared to their enrollment. And so I just started looking, and the more I looked, the less I liked. And so I just thought, if I didn't know about this, my guess was few, if anybody else, knew about it. And so I thought, if transparency is good for public schools, then it ought to be good for charter schools. So let's put it out in the public square and have a conversation about it.
Right. And first of all, we don't want to get into a charter schools are bad or type of conversation. There are great charter schools and charter schools that seem to be maybe needing some help, right?
Absolutely. I am not anti-charter. And as you mentioned, there are some kids getting diplomas simply because of charter schools being in existence that just didn't fit the traditional school model. So I'm not trying to beat up on charters or say disparaging things about charters. I'm just trying to draw out some things that I think are a concern that could be addressed.
Now, we're looking at pay per student. That's the basis of examination here, right?
Correct.
Now, is that a fair way to look at this?
Well, it's certainly one of the fair ways to look at it. I think performance can also be a part of it, but it does boggle the mind when you've got a charter school paying their superintendent $991 per student when they spend a grand total of about $6,000 to $8,000 total per student, and when you've got that high of a percentage going to one person, unless that one person is the Peyton Manning of public education, it's hard to imagine that it's worth that kind of money.
And averaging it all out, it seems that charter schools are paying their superintendents about $80 per student?
That's about right, $79.74. And when you compare that to the top 10 public schools, they're paying their superintendents an average of $6.39 per student.
Okay, so let's go ahead and get Mark Larson in on the conversation. He's with KIPP Academy. Of course, KIPP is always one of these charter schools that's mentioned when we talk about the charter schools that are doing things properly. And people seem to think that they're one of the best ones out there. So, Mark, why are some of these superintendents at charter schools getting paid so much per student?
Well, thanks for having me on. Mr. Ratliff, thank you so much for your support of charters and raising the issue of transparency. I think that charters were created with a lot of the local control and the opportunity to do things in a different way, with the counterbalancing that we would be held accountable for the results. Our mantra here has consistently been that we focus on results. Every time. And we want the results that we are generating. Are the kids staying with us? Are the kids graduating high school? Are the kids going to college? And are the students finishing college? those are the metrics that we want to make sure that we are keeping an eye on. And we need to do that in a way that is responsive to the families that we're serving and is responsive to the voters that have that are in our neighborhood, and we are among them. And we're responsive to the charge set forth to us by the legislature as how it's currently designed. I know that as to these specific charters, I don't know which those are that have the numbers you mentioned do seem pretty significant. I cannot speak to the those exactly. I do know that there have been that this is one of the metrics that we used. But there are plenty of things that are not as visible in these metrics. There's been in Senate Bill 2, there was something called the FIRST rating, which was designed to increase financial accountability. And in that metric, there is an administrative cost ratio that you must adhere to. And if you don't adhere to that, then you are losing significant points. If you fail the FIRST rating, and this is something that is new as of Senate Bill 2 last session, which we were very supportive of, that if you fail the FIRST rating for 3 years consecutively, that charter school must be shut down. Not could be or may be, but it must be shut down. There's a high degree of accountability for failing financial metrics as well as failing with academic metrics, and those are significantly higher for charter schools than they are for traditional public schools. So, which we are supportive of. That's what we signed up for.
Okay, so Mr. Larson, you signed on to a letter which was addressed to Mr. Ratliff, responding to this information about the how much these superintendents are being paid. One thing that this letter brings up is that while charter schools educate only 3.5% of Texas public school students, in 2013 they accounted for 24% of the schools that received a comptroller's highest rating for fiscal efficiency. So I don't think anyone is really critical of the overall fiscal efficiency of the charter schools, but there seems to be some questions and legitimate questions being raised about why some superintendents are being paid or rewarded so handsomely for doing their jobs. And maybe the question is, you know, why is that? Are these just a few bad apples? And what kind of measures can be done to correct that? And we're going to take up this conversation. I'll give you a chance to reply to that. We're going to get Representative Villarreal in on this conversation as well. We've got some phone calls we got to get on the air. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Do you think that there needs to be more scrutiny, more transparency for charter schools in Texas, specifically when it comes to compensation for their superintendents, given this new information about how well some are being paid compared to public school superintendents? The number again, 210-614-8980. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. A recent letter from the Superintendent Ratliff, not the superintendent, but the State Board of Education Vice Chairman Thomas Ratliff, let people know that superintendents at charter schools are making much more money than superintendents at the public schools, looking at a per student basis. If you've got a comment or a question, the number is 210-614-8980. Our guest that we have right with us is, we have Mark Larson of the San Antonio KIPP Academy. We got State Representative Mike Villarreal that will join very shortly, and also Thomas Ratliff, State Board of Education member, District 9. Let's get a caller on the air. Matt has called in. Matt, welcome to The Source.
Hey, how's it going?
Going good. Your comments?
I just wanted to say, of course charter schools should be able to pay their employees and other superintendents as much as they want. That's what freedom of choice is about. That's what the free market is about. And I think this topic is really about, do we think the government should have greater oversight over these charter schools? And absolutely not. I mean, I think there's a lot of people like me that think the government has no place in education at all. And so, I mean, it just seems a little ridiculous, and it seems like even asking the question is just, it's obvious that you guys don't believe in the free market and you don't believe in freedom of choice, because if you did, you wouldn't have to ask this question. And that's my comment.
Okay. Thank you for that, Matt. And so let me ask you, Thomas Ratliff, to respond to that.
Well, the framers of the Texas Constitution set out that the state of Texas shall provide a free public education to its citizens. And charter schools fit under the umbrella of public schools. So these are tax dollars at work, and I think just as the legislature and citizens have some questions and rightfully so, have questions about how their tax dollars are being spent, I think it's fair to ask the same questions of charter schools that are public schools. They are open enrollment charter schools. And a comment was made earlier about the first rating and the fast rating, and let me give you a 30-second blurb on that. The first rating looks at overall administrative costs, and 56% of charter schools spend over the TEA recommended amount. At the same time, 99.8% of public schools spend under that amount. So that's the overall administrative overload or administrative load of schools. And so we can't get caught up in these first and fast ratings without going a little more in depth. And that first rating has 19 different measurements. So failing one of them doesn't necessarily make you fail the overall first rating and raise any red flags with parents or taxpayers or legislators. So we've got to make sure we understand that failing just that one metric doesn't make you fail the overall first rating.
So Mark Larson of the KIPP Academy, how much supervision, how much guidance, oversight should there be from the state? These are tax dollars, and there is no elected board of trustees for the schools like we have for school districts. So what would be appropriate?
Yeah, you know, our accountability and transparency is almost the same as traditional public school districts. We are subject to open record requests just like anybody else. We are subject to Open Meetings Act just like everyone else for our board meetings. So the transparency is available, and the accountability is virtually the same. I understand that there are we mentioned that there are some of these that are paid significantly high amount. And I want us to remember that there are over 200 charters in the state of Texas, and we're talking about a small handful that may be out of whack. And I think there's an opportunity for like we're doing today, the press, to look into that, for the parents of those schools to look into that, and they're welcome to do that at all times. We want to be held accountable, and if there are groups that are significantly out of line and it is such that their money is not being used to generate the best results for kids, I am of the mind and the Texas Charter School Association that if those are not performing well, then they need to be closed. Now, if they are performing well and if they're meeting the metrics as set forth by the legislature and the students are having great outcomes, they need to do that. One of the nuances in this that is not as clear is that charter schools, by and large, are still quite small. And the vast majority of those 200 charter schools, 200 charter operators in Texas, might have fewer than 400 kids. And so it is more difficult when you have a very small number of kids to get an administrative cost ratio down. Similarly, I think if we went out to East Texas, West Texas, to the school districts, that have fewer than 500 kids here in Texas, and we have a ton of them, we would see that the amount of money that they are paying per child for their superintendent salary for those districts would look somewhat similar to what the charters are doing now. And my hunch is that it would be that they might be spending more per child.
But we know that is a hunch. That is not
Well, it's actually not accurate.
That's not so. Let's get a quick. I need to get some phone calls on the line, but let's get to Tom Ratcliffe. Go ahead and respond to that.
Actually, I looked at the top 10 charters have an average enrollment of 3,037 kids. So I looked at superintendents across the state that have an average close to that, and they're paid an average of $139,000, which is about 58% of what their charter counterparts are being paid. So I'm all for an apples-to-apples comparison, and I don't think the numbers are very flattering for the charters in terms of what they're paying their superintendent.
Okay, let's get a caller on the air. Deborah has called in. Deborah, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Well, first of all, I'd like to talk about the supervision and guidance on the testing that pay is based on, the testing of the students. I have tutored at a lot of these charter schools for parents and here in San Antonio, and I am a certified teacher, and I totally, and parents that I've tutored for, totally agree with this statement. Due to lack of, I guess you would say, the charter school supervision during the testing time and knowing the students, because I am their tutor after school, that could not have passed the test.
Okay, so I'm saying, you're saying that, what's happening? What is your point?
Basically, the students I tutored passed the testing. Students that sat in the room with me because I was in the room when I tutored, and they were students that stayed after that I was tutoring, and a charter school teacher was tutoring.
Okay, Deborah, thank you for that call. We appreciate those points. Let's get State Representative Mike Villarreal in on this. You're with the State Education Committee. What's your take on this information about how much superintendents are being paid in charter schools?
Well, first of all, glad to be here. Appreciate Tom Ratliff's work in raising this conversation. It's an important conversation. I think it really is about this larger issue of, are we getting the most out of our limited education dollars? Can we be focusing more of our spending in the classroom? Ultimately, I think that's the conversation we need to be engaged in. In regards to spending per student, in terms of a superintendent's salary, I'm not convinced this is a charter school issue as much as it is a small school issue. I'm looking at the numbers that Tom put together, and it is true that the top 10 public school district superintendents earn $6.39 per student, versus the top 10 charter schools at $79. But look at their student enrollments. Those public ISDs are at 50,000 students. The charter schools are at 3,000.
So you get more bang for your buck when you have the economy of scale.
It's a big school, small school issue. And it's not unique to charter schools. We see it with our small public ISDs. So I pulled some numbers and found that in a lot of rural areas, we have small school districts, student populations of less than 100, and those folks are earning around $1,200 per student. Now, that sounds outrageous, but if you look at the total salary, it's around $75,000. And I bet you that superintendent is not just superintendent, but he's driving the bus and he's probably teaching a class. And so it's a little disingenuous, or let me back up and rephrase that. We can't just look at spending per student because we are a large and diverse state. We have a whole lot of different types of school districts. Some are charter, some are public, some are big, some are small. What we really need to be concerned about are student outcomes, and we need to monitor these numbers and flag where there are serious discrepancies relative to enrollment sizes.
Okay, so let me get Thomas Ratliff to respond to that.
Sure.
Yeah, I think, and I appreciate those comments, and he's right. There is an element to this that deals with big school districts versus small school districts. I think the issue that goes hand in glove with this is is accountability. And when a local school board votes in public to pay their superintendent that salary, they're held accountable to the voters in that district, whereas the charter operators are not subject to the same kind of accountability from local taxpayers or local voters. They're only accountable to their nonprofit board or their charter management board. So that's the other rub that I've got, is I think some of these numbers would not be the way they are if these charters were as accountable to their local communities and voters as public schools are. Mm-hmm. And people get fired if they pay their superintendent too much. We've seen it happen.
Yeah, so no, I completely agree with you. An important distinction is that elected board is a control mechanism to make sure that superintendents aren't paid too much, but we still know that they are paid a lot, even in spite of that elected board. On the charter school side, I am encouraged that we did pass Senate Bill 2 that does empower TEA, and TEA does have resources to hold charter schools accountable and ultimately shut them down, which is different than a public school district that has an elected board. I understand that they look at these numbers, but let me tell you, I don't think that they are dinging anybody for having too high a figure.
So Representative Villarreal, Representative Villarreal, so it sounds like you're saying let's not judge too quickly or too harshly by looking at this one statistic about how much these superintendents are being paid per student. Is that it?
Oh, I do think we should be harsh when we find a real problem. But
is this a real problem?
Be smart about, you know, taking into consideration enrollment size, because that could be the sole driver for
is there enough here to look deeper and to continue examinations?
That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, it's Representative Mike Villarreal, thank you for joining us, talking about this issue about charter school superintendents being paid. Mark Larson also joined us from the KIPP Academy. And we're joined by Thomas Ratliff, the State Board of Education Vice Chair and member for District 9. Thanks for joining us. And when we come back from this break, we're going to be talking about Jack Morgan's Arts and Cultures Reporter's trip to Beirut. Stay tuned.